Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, an unusual type of heist made international headlines recently when 22 tons of artisan cheese, described as roughly the weight of four full-sized elephants, disappeared without a trace from one of Britain's most famous dairy companies. The London-based cheese wholesaler Neal's Yard Dairy was the victim of the robbery, which has been calculated to have cost the firm up to £300,000. And it seems that this isn't a once-off, because cheese, along with other luxury food items, have become very popular on the black market, with all the signs suggesting that food fraud globally is on the rise. And I'm joined now by food journalist with the BBC and author of Eating to Extinction, The World's Rarest Foods and Why We Need to Save Them. Dan Saladino, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. Now, I want to start by asking you about that theft, that recent theft that I described there, £300,000 worth of cheese. That's been dubbed the Great Cheese Robbery.
Yeah, this took place in October, when Neal's Yard Dairy, which is one of the major wholesalers of farmhouse cheeses and some of the higher quality cheeses, received an order from somebody posing as a buyer for a French supermarket, and ordered 22 tons of cheese valued at £300,000. And eventually, after all of the cheese had been taken to a warehouse, it eventually disappeared with no payment received. So it was a fraudulent order that came in, and unfortunately it had a massive impact on Neal's Yard Dairy.
And tell us a little bit about that impact, because it wasn't immediately obvious to them that it was a scam, but that's partly to do with how that operation works, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's interesting that since writing about this so-called cheese heist, I've been contacted by businesses in different parts of the food world. So people involved in seafood, fish, even people working with grains and flour. It's similar to when we see those spam emails coming into our inboxes, posing as something and enticing us to either click on something or interact in a way in which we end up sending over some money. And most of us, fortunately, do not engage with that, but a few people are tempted, and that creates this environment where this fraud happens. This is happening in to the food industry. Not entirely clear how much is happening. Neal's Yard took the decision to go public, so that's given us an insight into how this works. But all of this also had the appearance of inside information. So the way in which the invoice came in, and also the logistics involved in moving that amount of food around, does involve some inside information.
And you said you're aware that this is happening elsewhere in the industry, but it's not common that people who've been duped in this way want to talk about it. What are their reasons?
Well, first of all, and I think we can all relate to this if we imagine what it must be like to respond to a spam email and get caught out, it's embarrassing. And also at a company level, or even a corporate level, there's reputational damage, I presume, of being seen to have been taken in by a fraudster. So I think a lot of people have experienced this, and because of Neal's Yard's decision to go public, there was somebody who exports smoked salmon, for example, who, off the back of Neal's Yard's story, came out and said exactly the same a process had happened. Somebody posing as a French supermarket approached them. In their case, they lost £30,000 worth of smoked salmon, and again disappeared. No idea where that ended up.
Yeah, what an impact on your business. You know, it's an extraordinary hit.
Huge.
To have to take.
Yeah.
So why is it that this is happening? I mean, if we use the example of the cheese, which is the confirmed example that we have, why would someone want to steal that?
Well, I've spoken to people who work in the agencies dealing with food crime. And surprising to most of us, but the reality is if there's value, then there will be some criminal activity associated with it. And it goes from expensive wines to different kinds of cheeses. So probably one of the most popular cheeses for criminals is Parmigiano Reggiano, which is made in northern Italy. It's a protected cheese, can only be made in a very specific region and using particular methods. It's matured for a very long time. There's a huge amount of resource, energy, skill, knowledge invested in wheels of these cheeses that can vary from 500 euro right through to 3,000 euro per wheel. So that will be appealing to anyone who can actually get hold of these cheeses and find a way of exporting them. And people in the criminal in the crime agencies have told me that criminals can earn in some cases the same amount of money through food crime as they can through drug trafficking. But the consequences for them, because of the sentencing associated with this type of crime, are less.
That's interesting, isn't it? So the risk isn't as great as it would be if they were dealing in drugs.
Absolutely. And also, let's not forget the recent inflation that has seen food prices really, really increase. So in the case of a lot of dairy products, animal proteins, you know, we're talking about 25-30% increases in the last few years. So the value of that, stealing it, obtaining it fraudulently, has increased.
Mm-hmm. And they are trying to, the manufacturers and the producers, they're trying to find ways to guard against theft like this using new technology. Any indication that that's working?
Well, the people at the forefront are the Italian cheesemakers that I mentioned, the makers of Parmigiano Reggiano, which is said to be the most not only stolen but counterfeited cheese in the world because of its value. And one approach that they've taken is to embed digital tracking chips in their wheels of cheese, which means that if it is stolen, there's a way of identifying that cheese. But also if somebody is being sold a fake Parmesan cheese and it doesn't have the chip, that can also be identified. And it's believed that around the world, because again it's such a popular cheese, that there is as much fake Parmesan as there is the authentic version. Mm-hmm. And this is a 2 billion euro industry.
If you were of a criminal mind when it comes to this cheese, I mean, it sounds so bizarre even to say it, but you'd have to know what you were doing, wouldn't you, Dan? Like, you'd have to have refrigeration available to you. You'd have to know who your customers were.
Yeah.
Good knowledge of the industry.
This is why I think it's such a surprising story, and it caught people's attention and imaginations, really, of tons and tons of cheese disappearing and we're still not entirely sure where it's ended up. But yeah, there's a cold chain that exists that actually goes around the world of keeping foods such as cheese at a particular temperature. So this is logistically a really challenging thing to steal and distribute, which is why one of the suggestions is these cheeses, and these are very specialist high-end cheeses, were stolen to order. But the reason why Parmesan and also cheddar might be attractive as something to steal is if you were to steal 22 tons of brie, the clock is ticking and you only have a matter of weeks before you have to get rid of that. With Parmesan and cheddar, you can store that away in a warehouse for a couple of years and actually then trickle it through into the supply chain. So if you were to steal a particular kind of cheese, that would be the one that would be most appealing to criminals.
You can sell it on when people have stopped looking for it.
Exactly.
Now, I know in your research for this piece and in your wider research on food fraud and this type of crime, you heard suggestions from people that the theft of the cheese might be linked to Russia. And that makes logical sense if we look at the restrictions that were put in place, the trade restrictions on Russia since 2014, and then the greater restrictions since 2022.
Yeah. So in 2014, with the illegal annexation of Crimea, there were a lot of sanctions put in place by European countries and many others. Putin responded by actually putting his own ban on a lot of luxury food imports from Europe. And there was even on Russian television displays of these foods, including wheels of cheese, being ploughed into the ground. And then with the full invasion, Russia into Ukraine, what we've seen is further sanctions. And yet I've spoken to people who've been in Moscow and they've seen a lot of the foods that shouldn't be there legally are in shops. So, excuse me, there are ways in which those foods are making their way into Russia. There is a black market that operates around the borders of Russia. And I've spoken to Professor Chris Elliott, who's an expert in food fraud and food crime, who was explaining that actually, because of the nature of those borders and levels of corruption, it is easy for food to move through those borders and end up in cities such as Moscow.
And that's not just cheese we're talking about either, is it? It's other desirable and luxurious
Absolutely.
Food products.
Exactly. So spirits, also seafood, luxury, you know, seafood. So, you know, smoked salmon and also wines. So anything of value that can be moved relatively easily, there is a market for it in places such as Russia, where it is perceived, you know, that there's a middle class and people with money who believe that these are superior products. These are aspirational foods to be seen to be buying and eating.
Dan, it's fascinating. Thank you so much for telling us about it. Dan Saladino there, who's a food journalist with the BBC and author of the book Eating to Extinction, The World's Rarest Foods and Why We Need to Save Them. We'll be back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.